You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
This is Talking with the Pros.
The Pros.
Like professionals.
This is Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I speak to the professionals in the world of audio to gain an insight into what it takes to become a pro. Talking with the Pros.
And welcome to another episode of Talking with the Pros. And I'm here with my co-host, Polly.
Hey, how's it going?
Today we have a very special guest. I am delighted and honored for our guest today, Dave Norris. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Jess B. I appreciate it.
Of course. I mean, I need to pick your brain. I've been wanting you. You've been on my wish list. Let me tell you, we're in season two. Now, let's get into kind of your background. For those who don't know, your association with audio.
So my background in audio actually started when I was in college. My college had a radio station, and much like we have the Rebel HD2 here at UNLV. I went to North Carolina State University, home of the Wolfpack. Not the Wolfpack from up north, but the Wolfpack of NC State, right? Their college radio station was 88.1 WKNC. Their kind of tagline was the revolution, right? Very cool. Very much about the indie alternative music scene. My getting involved was kind of like the story that a lot of people who get involved with college radio have. You just kind of fell into it. I was hanging out with a friend of mine that I was doing naval ROTC with, and we were getting out of lab or something one day, and he was like, yeah, I got to get out of here. I got to do my radio show. And I was like, what? Radio show? He was like, yeah, I got a radio show. I was like, where? He was like, at the radio station, Norse, obviously. I was like, we have a radio station? He was like, yeah, you should come and hang out. And I did. And, you know, you can point to a couple of moments in your life that are, you take a fork in the road, right? If you went one direction, your life would be completely different than if you went another direction. And that was one of those moments in my life where I can distinctly say my life was completely different after that because I just chose to go and hang out with him. And he did his radio show. And it was cool. Like, it was really cool. I was not a broadcast major. NC State didn't even have traditional broadcast communications programs. But I was one of those people, when they say you got bit by the bug, I was totally bit by the bug. And it was great. You know, I loved getting involved. I loved to be able to learn and talk to people who'd been doing this for a long time. It was a great experience. So I got into radio because my college had a radio station. And then after that, I just never said no, right? Opportunities would come up and I would, you know, want to get involved. I always loved, even before I got involved with radio, I loved kind of those liners that would play in between songs, right? So I didn't know it was called imaging at the time. You know, that was something I learned afterwards, but I loved that. And I was like, that would be something that I wanted to learn how to do. And so my college radio station had a imaging director, a creative services director, right? A production director. And one of the things that they did, in addition to like recording underwriting spots and PSAs and things like that, was to, you know, do the imaging. And I was like, this would be really cool. And that would, you know, so it's something that I learned to do, right?
For those who don't know what imaging is on the radio, it's kind of like the in-betweens of songs to just refresh. This is what station you're listening to.
Wow.
It's
the brand, right? It's the underscore of the brand. So anytime that you hear the station voice, right? So it's not the DJ, but it's the voice of the radio station. That is imaging. That's what we in the industry call anything that kind of brands the radio station generally outside of the individual personalities. 91.5 Jazz and More has a voice. His name's John Carter. He's based in Charlotte, North Carolina. He does radio stations all across the country. He's got a great voice for radio. Jeff Jens, a graduate of our program, is the voice of the Rebel HD2. In between songs, when you hear Rebel or whatever it might be, right? That's Jeff. You know, we have operations manager Jason, who will then take his voice and modulate it and manipulate it and run it through filters and add cool special effects to it. And I was always like, that's really cool. I would love to learn how to do something like that. And that gave me, you know, this college radio station gave me the opportunity to start learning. And I was terrible, right? I mean, it was just like, I go back and I would be like super proud of something and I would listen to it now and be like, oh, that was awful. But that's how you learn. I learned a lot doing that. It was a lot of fun. And that kind of like led into another opportunity, which led to another opportunity. I can point all the way back to that one moment. Yeah, I got a radio show. You should come and hang out. And everything after that is part of my journey.
You were doing all these things. I mean, you were plugging in, you're getting involved. What was the moment when you were like, I really love this?
I don't know if I can say that there was a specific moment. Mm. I think instead it was a feeling mm-hmm. that I just got, right? And I got it quickly. When people are bit by the bug, as they say, it's just like, you know, maybe there's a moment like I was sitting in front of the microphone and I was like, this is what I want to do, right? First time I sat at a microphone, I was terrified. I don't know if that was what I wanted to do. But I remember, so I did theater when I was in high school, right? Okay. You know, I remember get kind of the pre-show jitters before your opening night or whatever it was. And I kind of remember having that sort of same feeling. And although you don't have an audience in front of you, right, there is an audience that's out there. And I kind of didn't necessarily, it's not a one-to-one comparison, but it was close enough that I feel like that analogy works here. You know, in a way, you're performing. You're not necessarily like acting, but you know, you're putting on a show, ideally an entertaining show for an audience, right? That's why a lot of people, I think, really enjoy being on mic and playing host, right? You are entertaining your audience kind of in a similar way. I think probably because I enjoyed that in high school. It was one of the things that I enjoyed about radio. But interestingly enough, the more I got involved, the less important that was for me. I liked the feeling, but what I liked even more than that, and I think this will answer your question, Jess, I liked learning about the industry. I liked learning how the station worked, right? You know, the most famous part or the most important part, a lot of people think, is like whoever is talking on the air at any one point. And that is a super important part, but it's only a part. And the more that I learned about kind of the various parts and how they all work together, the more I was like, wow, this is really cool. I would love to be able to learn more about it. And that's why, like, I just kept saying, yes, I would do production. I would do engineering stuff. I would go and do promotions, right? Anything that folks needed, all the various elements that go into running a station, you know, I wanted to learn about. And it was through that, it was through the production elements that I learned a lot about different types of mics and mic technique and how do you manipulate a soundboard and kind of all the professional audio things that you would need to know. That if I had just stayed involved kind of being a quote-unquote personality or a host on the air, I might never have, you know, needed to know, right? So it was just kind of one thing led to another, and that love, as opposed to being a moment, that initial interest turned into a love, and that love really kind of expanded the more I got to know about things.
Production and engineering. I want to get more into the engineering part if we can. You're board operating as an engineer for the radio station, is that correct?
I think that's where it starts, mm-hmm. right? A lot of folks will start out as a board operator because it gives you an opportunity, as opposed to just learning the automation system and clicking two or three buttons, right? You start to learn a little bit more about the functionality that the radio station has. Typically, when you need a board operator, it's if you're doing a remote. The radio station is broadcasting live on location somewhere other than the radio station. The host or the personality will be on location. They'll need somebody back at the studio running things. So you have to learn how to connect remotely. You need to be able to, a lot of things that we take for granted now, there's like a mix minus, right? So the idea of a mix minus is you have all these sources coming in minus, you know, that are all mixed together minus you, right? So it prevents feedback. And like setting all that up, you know, takes a little, I mean, it's not rocket science, but it takes a little bit of technical know-how. And so you start learning by board operating. And then assuming you don't crash the radio station into the mountain, right? They may at that point say, wow, you know what? You were really helpful here. We want to ask you to do some other thing. You know, my journey was I went from board op to like master control operator, where it's like, okay, so you're managing kind of all the inputs to the entire facility and then all the outputs, right? And then you learn equipment and you learn a little bit more that way. And then they're like, hey, can you work nights or can you work weekends? And because you love it, you're like, yes, absolutely. And they'll be like, we're not going to pay you any more money. And you're like, that's okay. I still love it. And for me, that was kind of, I learned, I started as a board op and then I became an MCO. And then, you know, we had an opening for, I mean, I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but eventually I became an operations manager and I learned a lot doing that way or doing in that particular role about how all the elements come together. And yeah, and that just kind of, like I said, one thing led to another.
So the MCO, mm-hmm. is that kind of similar to that room here at the bottom of the basement here, Greenspun?
Yeah.
Is that what you'd be doing?
So we have we have here in Greenspun Hall a master control or a technical operations center, right? Now, as a master control operator, you're not necessarily responsible for knowing how all of the pieces of equipment in there work. But if you have audio coming in from a variety of sources, so let's say you've got four sources. One is your studio, right? All the audio from your automation system and all your microphones in the studio that's coming together, that's typically mixed in the studio, and then it's sent to your master control, which might go out into your transmitter site or to your satellite, wherever it might might be. Wow. Another one might be like if you have any satellite programming, if you syndicate some shows, for example, if it were an NPR radio station or, you know, a top 40 radio station where you're bringing in kind of piped in programming from Los Angeles or New York City, something like that, that's coming in on a satellite most likely. So that would be a second source. Your third source might be like the remote example that I gave. You've got your personality on location, broadcasting live wherever they are, car dealership or stadium or, you know, wherever, right? And so that's coming into the master control through another piece of equipment. Right now we use a piece of equipment called a Comrex, but, you know, back in the day you might use, they called things like a Marty, for example. You actually literally take a, it's kind of like an antenna, you put it up on this boom and you like point it back towards your building and you hope you've got it aimed just right and it will literally like beam the signal back, right?
Oh, is that like what those vans are?
Yeah,
for?
Exactly. Oh, like okay. why you would see those vans mm-hmm. back in
or
the
like
day,
a
right?
Ham radio, right? Like ham radio.
Kind of like, yeah, I mean, in the same principle where you would have a transmitter, right? Except you're only transmitting it back to your home base, back to the mothership, so to speak, right? And so you've got these various sources that are all coming together. And the idea is your master control operator, as opposed to working in the studio, they're the ones working in master control, making sure that point A makes it to point D, right? And then point B makes it to point E. And then when the broadcast is over, point B needs to make it back to point A, for example. So they're the ones who's technically, you're like taking all the routing and you're making sure it's getting where it needs to go. And it takes a while, but you know, you don't necessarily start by doing that. You start by working in the studio and you make sure that the feed is coming to the board and you're playing the commercials on time, right? And then, so you kind of, you learn step by step by step.
Mm-hmm. I did a show. It was just briefly talking about audio at simplest level, inputs and outputs, signal coming in, signal going out. Everything that can go out can come back in. And it's just knowing how to organize these. And it's fascinating to me how broad the audio world really is. When you get into radio and you get into broadcasting, you get into podcasting, you get into anything that you're passionate about, as long as you're passionate about it, you're going to be able to learn all the different skills required to do it. That is just inspiring. That's cool because you went from knowing all the technical stuff, trying to just be a sponge, right, to eventually becoming an operations manager. I'm very curious about this audio gathering and production. What is audio gathering?
Let's say you are a reporter and you want to go out and tell a story. You're going to do interviews, right? Part of being an audio journalist is you don't have a camera, so you have to use the theater of the mind. So you're going to go out and you're going to capture natural sound or active sound. You're going to bring your microphones with you and you're going to capture audio and different things. So if I'm doing a story on Jess, I'll interview Jess over here. We'll have a conversation, but then I might also, for my quote unquote B-roll over here, if we use the video analogy, I'm going to take my microphone and my field kit. I'm going to interview her doing her thing in the studio. And then like if I'm doing a whole documentary on Jess, I'm interviewing her in the car, got to get to this place, you know, we got this really cool promotion, whatever it might be. So you're going out and you're gathering audio. You're a field producer, so to speak. And you need to know as a field producer, well, what's the best microphone to use? I'm not going to use an SM58 that you would find a rock star screaming into on the stage to capture Jess if I'm like standing 10 feet away. No, I need to use a shotgun mic, right? And how do I hold that shotgun mic? And what if it's outside and it's super windy out? So you need to be able to think, all right, how am I going to capture the best quality audio? And then once I do that, right, then the production starts. You bring that audio back in, you know, you can put it into your Adobe Audition or you can GarageBand, right? I mean, we're at the point now where there's a lot of software that's available to us, but I bring it back in and now what do I do with that? So the audio gathering is kind of getting the raw audio and then the production is what do I do with that to make it sound however I want it to be, whatever the end product's going to be.
What are some of the revolutionary things happening in radio? Because I understand podcasting right now is super big. I'm curious to know about what's happening in radio and what's happening also in broadcast with news, television, because that's an interesting field for anyone who's interested in that audio side of things. I find it fascinating. I'm come from the mixing world, just mixing bands and doing stuff like that. But I love hearing this because this is exciting.
Yeah, broadcast is an interesting, I mean, especially radio broadcast, right? So we're in an interesting place right now simply because we have more options than ever before. You can listen to podcasts, you can listen to Spotify or Apple Music or name your streaming service. But broadcasting's never going to go away. And simply because, first of all, it's free, right? People love free. But second of all, it will always be there in the sense where if it's an emergency, we may lose cell phone towers and we may lose power to our phones, right? You can still, you know, there are hand-cranked radios out there. You can get in your car and turn your car on. You can get information. If there's an emergency, broadcasting will be there. People are like, yeah, broadcast dead, radio's dead. People have been saying that, I think, since the TV was invented. It's still around, and it's not necessarily going to go anywhere. What the interesting thing about broadcasting right now, right, when you have so many options that are available to you, the question really comes down to, how do you remain relevant? And what's great about radio is you have the ability to connect with your audience because you serve a community, right? You are about the community that you broadcast to. And I love Spotify and I love Apple Music. And if I just want to listen to music, it's there and it's uninterrupted, assuming I've got like the ad-free plan, right? But I'm not going to connect with my community all that easily through Spotify. They may have great algorithmically generated playlists that, you know, fit my mood, but, you know, I can't be surprised unless I hear a song that I haven't ever heard before. But you can be surprised, or you can laugh out loud, or you can say, I didn't know that. You know, if you tune into a radio station and there's a great personality who's entertaining you, or, you know, they're featuring some guest interview where you're learning something you didn't know before, or you're just finding out about something really cool that's happening this weekend, right? That, you know, because you weren't paying attention because you were super busy this past week, you wouldn't have known about otherwise. Now, maybe you would find out scrolling on your phone through your social media feed. But the nice thing about this too is it's super passive, right? That's why people love podcasts. You can just turn it on and it's there. I think that's what's really cool about it.
I love the fact that you're just always learning. You don't stop learning. That gives you a wide gamut of skills to pull from where you become valuable. Mm-hmm. You become so valuable that people see that and they say, hey, this guy, promote him because he's worth it because he has those skills.
Right.
And that's fantastic. What I love is audio is not just being behind a console at a show and mixing bands, or there's more to audio than just that. And that is fascinating to me. I'm fascinated by the world of audio professionals because capturing audio is so important. It's the line of communication. If you lose video, if you lose lighting, if you lose anything else, audio is still something to fall back onto.
Sure.
I'm just curious, for anyone who's interested, how can you inspire someone, but they don't want to necessarily pursue the artistic side of it?
Sure.
They're curious about the technical side.
Right. Well, I think one of the greatest things that are out there, I mean, and it's going to sound so dumb, but right, it's like, where do you start? Well, just about like where you would start with anywhere. You go to YouTube. Right? I mean, you can learn so much just by going on YouTube. There are folks who are professional mixing engineers, you know, professional recording engineers that will, you know, you'll take a look at 128 channel mixing console and they'll break down what every button on that board will do. Now, fortunately, all 128 of those channels essentially have the same button. So you're not spending all day learning it, but like you start there. If you're more interested in the post-production, like you can get on and you can say, all right, I want to learn about Logic, or I want to learn about Pro Tools, or I want to learn about Adobe Audition, right? If you've got a PC, you can download Audacity for free today. Just open up any audio file in there, take a look at a waveform, start playing around, right? See what you can do with some of the built-in tools that are in there.
Curiosity.
Right.
Curiosity helps.
Well, and I think the other thing is, like anything, it is a skill, right? And with any skill, the more time that you put in, the better you will be. So if you're not awesome after 30 minutes, don't give up. It just means you've only spent 30 minutes in there. You know, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, has that saying, 10,000 hours,
yeah,
right?
Right. To
become a master, Outliers. You need to spend 10,000 hours. This may start out just something you're interested in, or maybe it's something you want to help with, right? Maybe your church has an AV team, right? And you want to get involved because you're like, hey, this looks cool, right? And it's a great way that I can give some service over here. Maybe you're looking for a part-time job at UNLV's Student Union and Event Services, and they're looking for an AV tech. And you're like, okay, I'll be the person that like makes sure the volume doesn't go too loud. There's lots of different ways to get involved, and you don't have to be an expert, which is what's really cool. But instead, if you're just interested and you're like, I want to know something, right? YouTube is always your friend. And you just pick anything and you start with that. And you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to get into audio processing immediately. That would be down the line. If somebody's talking to you about dynamics and noise gates and all this and that, and you're just like, I don't know what that means, that's okay. Again, you can get to that eventually. But something as simple as like, how do I talk into a microphone? It seems pretty intuitive, but there are different ways to talk into different microphones. By the way, there's different price points on all sorts of different microphones, depending on what you want to do. You can spend $3,000 on a Neumann ribbon mic, right? Or you can spend $50 on a Blue Yeti. There's the difference. Now, depending on what you're looking to do, like, okay, you don't have to spend $3,000. $25 to $50 might be fine. Maybe it's just start by asking, like, why would I bother spending thousands of dollars on a microphone? What's it going to do for me? You start by just being a little bit curious, right? And that curiosity will then feed it. And if you get as far as knowing, okay, well, there's some mics that are better than others, that's okay. Because even at that, you're ahead of most of the game that don't have any idea that there are different types of microphones and you'd use them for different reasons, right?
I really love your journey and how you just don't say no and you're picking up different skills and getting your hands into different areas, just growing from there. What I want to talk about now is, what is Dave up to these days?
Okay, so we're transitioning from my audio journey to where am I right now? I'm still kind of involved in the audio scene, but my job description description is a little bit different. If you look at, I'm trying to actually remember my entire job title, I am an assistant professor in residence of the Hank Greenspun School of Journalism and Media Studies in the Greenspun College of Urban Affairs here at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Yes, so that is a long roundabout way of saying, yeah, I teach here in the J School. My role here is kind of varied, and I like it like that, right? So I teach a few classes every semester. I run our internship program. I'm the coordinator for our scholarships here in the school as well. I do a lot of community outreach. What does that ultimately mean, right? It's like, okay, I help make sure that the courses that we're teaching ideally are relevant for the people who are taking, who are in our program. So when you graduate, you're ready for the job of 2025 and not the job of 2015, right? Or 1987. You know, that's ideally what we want. We want our graduates to be prepared for the workforce. This is a media industry. Media, right, is super dynamic. And especially now, it's changing so quickly. And it's super hard for us to stay on top of all the changes. But we have to try, because if we don't try, then we're teaching stuff that's not relevant and we're not doing a service to our students. So I try to facilitate a lot of conversations with industry professionals to make sure, number one, they know what we're doing and that, you know, we want to be partners with them. That helps our students with internships. It helps them, you know, when they're thinking, hey, you know, we need employees, right? Who do they want to hire? They want to hire our students, right? Because they know what we're teaching them is stuff that they need today and not stuff they needed 5 years ago. I spend a lot of my time when I'm not teaching trying to organize either events or summits. We bring people in, we talk with them, we pick their brains. A couple of weeks ago, we had all the general managers and news directors from the television stations here in the Valley come by. And we're like, here's what we're doing. Here's kind of what we think the future looks like. What do you guys think? And then they tell us. And we're like, oh, great. That's really helpful. We're going to make some changes to our curriculum and we're going to bring you guys back. And that ultimately, not only does it help us make sure what we're teaching is relevant, but it helps, hopefully, our students position themselves so that when they graduate, you know, these are the people that the industry wants to hire right away.
Yeah, you're keeping a conversation with the community industry leaders at that.
When I'm on a job board and I'm searching for a job, there's so many, I type in audio engineer and so many options come up. And one of those options is even Meta, for example, is hiring audio engineers. And I'm thinking, how can I do audio? Well, there's audio with coding. If you're interested, if you're tech savvy and you understand, you know, Python and all that, you could coding language, you could even code, you can be an audio engineer in the coding world. It's so diverse, the need for audio professionals in so many different scenarios. I'm fascinated. Our phones and our pockets are radio transmitters and receivers. I mean, it's fascinating. We have antennas. We have a radio device on us at all times. That's an audio thing. So that is just so cool. If that interests you, that curiosity, like you mentioned, that is so key to not only being valuable at a job, just growing in that job.
That's what I love about the talk show here is we talk to professionals in the world of audio, really getting an insight to what it takes to become a pro. And knowing that we have a similar story where we're like putting our hands in everything. Like as the president here at The Rebel, I'm learning all of the aspects when it comes to being hosts, production, the imaging, getting promotions, doing live events, doing remotes, all of that that you seem to have done as well. And that's inspiring. We're all here on the right track.
Biggest thing too, I mean, this is an industry which you might think, okay, audio is audio, right? But if you look at this room that we're in right now, and I know if you're listening, you can't do that. But, you know, what do we see in here? Well, we've got 5 microphones. We've got a computer workstation. We've got a small mixing console. So this is a professional studio. But what it takes to operate this, so we operate here at in the media facility, we have an audio over IP network, right? So audio over IP is huge. This is a new technology right now. So even though audio has been around for 100 plus years, right? So, well, radio has been around for 100 plus years, right? The technology which underskirts all of it is still developing, right? You think about what's really big in the world of kind of audio engineering right now is 3D audio. Audio that is kind of fully immersive, right? Even though it's only mixed in stereo, you know, using Doppler effects, it can put, it literally surrounds you, right? And it surrounds you in a 360 degree way, right? There is a lot of exciting things happening in this field right now. And it's so much more than just talking into a microphone or doing some basic edits in name your audio editor of choice, right? If you're curious, if you're interested, I think the skill set that working in audio provides you is applicable in so many fields. like you were just mentioning, Pauly, whether it's from, you know, high tech, you know, you're going to work for a company like Oracle or Meta, and they're looking for developers, or you're working kind of in the traditional ones that we think about, broadcast, conventions, podcasting, to
SpaceX.
Yeah, but also at the end of the day, too, think about sports right now. Think about industry where communication is important, right? Audio plays into all of that. If you have a knowledge, you don't even need to have a mastery, right? You build mastery over time. But if you have knowledge, right, then you've got a skill set, which is super valuable. So many places outside of kind of just what we think about, oh, you can do podcasts or you can work for a radio station, right?
Well, that's how I see you, Dave. You're definitely the master here at the J School. So just thank you so much for just letting us pick your brain and giving us all the ins and what you're all about in the world of audio. So definitely going to take it further from here and would love to continue this conversation. So thank you again for coming today.
You know it, guys. Pauly, Jess B., thanks so much.
I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And if you missed any of today's episode, you can find us anywhere podcasts are available, like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I love you, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.